You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
To keep this place running, from batteries to V-belts, safety to sump pumps, and with Granger Choice, we can trust that every product is dependable and cost-effective. When it comes to making life choices, here's a great one. Granger Choice. Get it? Got it? Good. Call clickgranger.com/choice or stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Legislative leaders in Indiana say they are working on adding language to a new state law to make it clear it doesn't allow discrimination against gays and lesbians. The move comes amid widespread outcry over the measure that prohibits state laws that substantially burden a person's ability to follow his or her religious beliefs. The State House Speaker says the law was meant to promote a message of inclusion, but has instead led to one of exclusion. Indiana Governor Mike Pence says he's upset with the lack of tolerance shown toward Indiana's move to protect religious freedoms.
Here Indiana steps forward to protect the constitutional rights and privileges of freedom of religion for people of faith and families of faith in our state. And this avalanche of intolerance that's been poured on our state is just outrageous.
He says the law will not be changed, but he will consider clarifying it.
If the General Assembly in Indiana sends me a bill that adds a section that reiterates and amplifies and clarifies what the law really is and what it has been for the last 20 years, then I'm open to that.
He appeared on ABC's This Week. Prosecutors are expected to wrap up the first phase of their case against Boston Marathon bombing suspect Zohar Tsarnaev with testimony from medical examiners who will describe the fatal injuries to two people, including an 8-year-old boy. The same jury that consists of 30 federal charges against Tsarnaev will hear additional evidence during the trial's second phase to determine whether Tsarnaev is sentenced to death or life in prison. I'm Kelly Sloan, and you're listening to USA Radio News.
The news is sponsored by Patton, Heide & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc.
In America, we believe in a future that is better than today. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has been working hard for their clients' futures, never taking a bailout, helping generations achieve dreams, buy homes, put their kids through college, retire how they want to. Today, Patton, Heide & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. They are ready to help you feel more confident about your financial future. Put the strength of a global financial leader to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton, Heide & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you achieve your dreams and goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. That's 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated. Member FINRA and SIPC.
And the temperature here in beautiful downtown Flemington is a mostly cloudy 51 degrees. Tonight, or this afternoon, they're talking about a breezy afternoon with a high of 52. I think we already hit that last hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low of 30, and on Tuesday, a 60% chance of rain likely with a high of 46.
Thank you.
Well, good afternoon again, everybody. I've only been here since noon. This is Richard G., and I'm sitting in now for Larry Cartwright, who normally does the NAMI show, but his wife has had an operation today, and he's at the hospital with her. So I'm filling in. And this hour, I've got Ruth Ann Brown, and I'm sorry, what's your sister?
Mary. Brown.
Mary Brown.
The Brown girls.
The Brown girls are here.
You are so talented. You've done two shows already.
I've done two.
And now you're on your third round. We've come to save you.
Thank you, because I need to do something.
And your audience. We just need to pick things up a little bit,
don't we? I need to do something lighthearted.
Let's do light. We are here full of light today.
Well, first of all, Ruth Ann, why don't you tell everybody what you do?
In real life? really?
Or what is it?
I'll take the hour.
What you pretend to do.
I own Celebration of a Lifetime, which is a non-denominational ceremonial ministry. And I do ceremonies for people, and I custom write them for them so that they can be storytelling ceremonies. And I have a great time with that. I started out doing funerals and honoring the lives of people so that we can know who we're saying goodbye to and what we can carry on for them. But it kind of branched out into a bunch of other things, and now I marry people and do retirement parties and significant birthdays and bar mitzvahs and baby welcomings and all kinds of things. It's really it's exciting. It's a lot of fun. I get to meet a lot of really cool people, and that's why I have a radio show on 100 and Chamber Radio. At 5 o'clock today. I have a love coach coming on, so if anybody's out there and is having challenges in their relationships or just wants to know how to tweak things, I'm sure that Annette Carpian is going to be able to help them out with that. So we're going to have a great time. I just enjoy people. I really do. I collect people. You know, some people collect stamps. I collect people.
Okay.
So, and especially friends.
What I thought we were going to talk about today was friends.
We're going to talk about friends because it's really important.
Yeah, but you said something about talking about chicks.
Well, they're friends.
Well, my chicks are my friends.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, when I moved up into this neck of the woods, 11 years ago? 12 years ago. 12 years ago, I moved up in this neck of the woods. And I invited my friends from my old neighborhood, because I was down in Monmouth County at the time.
Okay.
I said, come on up, check out this new house. Bring your jammies and a bedroll, because we'll have a toast to the new house and everything, and I don't want everybody driving. So I got a handful of girls together, and they came up, and we had a great time together. And the next morning, we're sitting out on the deck looking over the valley and having a mimosa and a bagel and some fresh fruit, and somebody said, oh, this is wonderful. We should do this every year. And I thought, yeah, we should. So this year was our 11th year of doing it again every year. And we do it at the beginning of spring, so we call ourselves the Spring Chicks. And we originally started out with 12, because there's 12 eggs to a dozen. And over the years, it's morphed a little bit because some people have moved away and
sure,
other people couldn't make it. And we brought other people in. And then we just kind of settled into the regular 12 that come all the time, but two of them couldn't make it this year. And through the course of time, we've given everybody chick names, and it's kind of interesting, you know. Like my sister here, her name is Beach Chick, and we've overlapped those two words, so she's Beachick.
Okay.
And
I like Beach Chick better, though.
Well, she doesn't like the names. Not everybody likes the names, but a lot of people get the playfulness of the names, so it's okay. They called me La Chick at the very beginning, and I figured if they're going to call me a name, I get to call you a name.
Sure.
So we have some interesting gals in our group. We have Chicka Boop, because she loves Betty Boop. We have Teach Chick, who is a teacher. Okay, so we combined that together. She's Teach Chick, which works out really well because she's an aficionado of tea. We also have Zippy, who we named after Moses' wife, Zipporah, who wandered through the desert in 40 years. And this girl just keeps moving. So, and then we have...
Blaker.
Biker Chick, because she likes to motorcycle ride. We have Chief Chick, who's a retired Coast Guard chief.
Okay.
You know, so we just kind of work our way through everybody and have a good time naming each other. But we get together at noon on Saturday, and whoever's still around on Sunday at 10 o'clock is welcome to be in the carpool to go to church, which seems like an interesting way to end a weekend. But it is an interesting way to end a weekend, and we all go to church together and enjoy that part of life, too.
You know, when I was still working at Newsweek and we moved out here, I started a 4th of July party. I think the last year we had it, we had 176 people.
Oh, my goodness.
I've got 7 acres. People brought their campers.
Neat.
But I have a very old, old farmhouse. And you could go down in the morning and have to step over people who are in sleeping bags or whatever, sleeping downstairs. But and then what we used to do is we would see who wanted to play golf, and we'd play golf the next day.
That's fun.
And we'd have a good time. And I always got illegal fireworks, and we fired those off. You know, some big stuff. That you had to have a pipe in the ground, drop the mortars down, and shoot those off. We used to do that. But I just had a massive amount of people, a lot of them coming out from New York City.
Yeah.
This was their chance to get out of the city and stay out for a couple of days.
And have a grand time.
And we had booze like crazy, and they just enjoyed themselves.
Well, some
and
of the,
food, and food too.
Some of these girls only see each other this weekend because they come from different places. I have one coming from Connecticut, one from Tennessee, one's out in California.
Wow.
I mean, people moved away, but they can, you know, return to the roost once a year see each other.
And do they find that once they came back, it's like they just saw the person the day before?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's what's fun about good friends.
It's an important thing. And you have to feed your friendships. You know, some people walk around with a pouty face and they feel like they don't have any friends. Well, what are you doing to create friends?
Right.
And what are you doing to keep friends? You might make an acquaintance. But if you aren't doing anything to nurture that relationship, how do you expect to have friends?
Sure, I agree.
So we just have a wonderful time. Everybody brings food with them,
mm-hmm.
so it's not a burden on the host of the party. And one of the girls has been hosting the party for me for a couple years because we've been going through some transitional housing stuff, and she's got this marvelous place that really lends itself well to flow and availability. So if we want to play pool, we can, or hot tub or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody brings appetizer or dessert or both, and whatever beverage they want to drink, and a bathing suit, and we bring a massage therapist in. And this year we had a bra fitter come in, and everybody was getting their boobies checked, you know. So it was, you know, you got to have activities. We were going to have a manicurist come in, but she had an accident and injured her back, so she wasn't able to make it in. But that didn't keep us from having a good time. And every Spring Chicks, we get a goodie bag. So everybody came in and picked out their goodie bag, and I gave a bunch of bandanas on the table in different colors. So you wrap your bandana, and that's how you identify your bag. But we always have neat things in here. Like, we got makeup remover towelettes and socks with chicks on them, and even chicks themselves. Little, you know, someone else gave that one. I have a wind up chick that walks across the table, so that was in there. I found a chick cookie.
Ah.
You know, so we find all these neat things, and because there's so much sweet stuff in the house, I put a couple Slim Jims in the bag. But you get a brace. You get to have a bracelet. You get to have something for your hair. Everybody got a bow, a headband to put in their hair. And
earrings.
And we get, outrageous earrings. I meant to bring my earrings, but I didn't. And we had very chunky, jeweled dangle earrings that you'd never wear anywhere. But you can wear them with pajamas that have chicks on them. So it works out really well. And then I found this wonderful little bag of little people. When I went to New Mexico recently, and this one place was selling this, and the inside this bag are all these little people made out of cloth.
Yeah.
So it's And there's a story in there about how they are children that carry your worries. So it's like a bag of friends, you know. And you tell them your worries, and you put them in this bag, and you tuck it under your pillow at night. And while you sleep, all your worries are taken away because they've taken them. So isn't that kind of cool?
That is.
Yeah. So I try to find all these neat things.
I needed two or three of those bags.
You got a tribe?
Yeah.
We have a good time. And then over the course of years, other people get into the game, and then some people bring their own stuff. We got this chick bucket here that came with stuffings inside it.
Let's stop right there while I do the commercials, and then we'll come back. And
now for our commercial sponsors.
We'll be right back after these messages.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Hi, this is Ruth Ann Disatel, Celebrant Officiant with Celebration of a Lifetime. When people ask me why I joined the Chamber, it's because I want to get to know you and what you're all about. And I want you to get to know me and what I'm all about. And together, I'd like to celebrate what we can do for Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Okay, we're back. This is Richard G. I'm sitting in for Larry Cartwright, and I'm talking with Ruth Ann Brown and her sister, and I'm sorry.
Mary.
Why? How could I forget that?
Mary Brown. It's a hard name to remember.
Goes to show where my mind is gone. It's just gone. And we're just talking about they have an annual chicks, some spring chicks.
Spring chicks, yeah.
Sleepover.
Yeah. Slumber parties shouldn't stop when you're little.
Well, you know, I know a person. I know a lady who comes on a lot of times with me on the movie show.
Mm-hmm.
And she likes movies, so her and a bunch of ladies go down to the Hershey Lodge the night before the Oscars, and they bring their their pajamas, and they do something at the spa, and then they all sit around in their pajamas and watch the Oscars.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, they have a big Oscar party, and they all do it with their pajamas, and I said, oh, I'll come. I'll get some pajamas. They said, no, you're not invited. I'm sorry.
Last year for our 10th anniversary, I bought everybody matching pajamas.
Really?
And it was so much fun. Everybody in pink pajamas with orange chicks all over the legs. And it was.
Are those one-piece type pajamas? Or
no, they were two-piece.
Oh, okay.
But it made for a fun picture.
Sure.
Yeah, we had a good time. And we play games, and we found an interesting new game. It's like Whisper Down the Lane meets Pictionary. You know, you know what Whisper Down the Lane is, right?
I don't.
So the first person has something to say, and they whisper it to the next person.
And then, okay.
And that person whispers it to the next person. And by the time it gets to the end, it's nothing near
right.
what the
okay.
first thing
I've was. Never heard it called Whisper Down the Lane.
What do you call it?
I don't remember.
Pass it on.
I don't know, but yeah, we used to do it like in at church, the youth group and stuff like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so this is so that you have little picture boards in a spiral-bound book that are you can wipe off, but you put the words on the first page off of a card, like you roll a dice, and it tells you which words to take off of the card.
Okay.
And you write them down, and then you flip over the page, and you draw a picture of it, and then pass it to the next person. They look at your picture, and they flip the card and put their guess down. And then they flip the card, and they draw it and pass it to the next person. Well, when you're dealing with 10 people,
sure.
this becomes hysterical. Because at the end, you're going through the picture board with everybody, and what people interpreted pictures as was just crazy. And we had the best time giggling and laughing our butts off. It was so good. And then we eat a lot the whole time we're there.
Yes, we do. Got to put my words in there.
Yeah, put your words in when you can.
Yeah, squeeze them in there.
We cover the kitchen counter with tons of food, and it's all delicious and chickified.
And it was a beautiful day again, so we got to enjoy the deck and the beautiful mountain view. It's like if you want to have a party, ask Ruth Ann, and she'll like tell you what weekend it's going to be nice out.
I don't check the Farmer's Almanac either. I plan a day, and I'm always
and damn it, the weather better be nice.
Well, it always is.
I'm impressed. It just happens, you know. God is with us. You know, it's nice. We end up with good weather, and have a good time. Everybody got some sunshine in on Saturday, and it was still sunning on Sunday, so we did really well, and nobody killed each other from snoring the night before. Through the night, so that was good. Over the years, you just sound different when you're sleeping. But all in all, not bad. Not bad at all. But the bonds that have been created in this group are extraordinary. And I'm just so delighted with seeing people that I've met from different places come together and love on each other the way they do.
Mm-hmm.
They just have connected in a very special way. And they're talking with each other throughout the year without my knowledge, you know, sending text messages and emails.
And today it's so much easier than it used to be.
Oh, it's marvelous.
Yeah.
And we were able to Skype Stephanie in California, so that's a...
Right, Steph couldn't make it, so that's our biker chick. And we ended up...
Skyping her
in, and that was so nice to have her at the table with us, even though she wasn't physically... with us, she was in the computer screen, and it was great, and she got to be a part of the party.
Sure.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Yeah, that's one of the great things about technology today.
It's amazing about technology.
Yeah.
I just can't get over it. And we even had a little downfall with Skype for a moment, and we went to FaceTime. We're passing around a cell phone. So it's so easy to keep everybody connected.
Sure.
And I just love my chicks. I just love it. And we just evolve every year into a different thing. And some year we're busy telling jokes. Sometimes we're busy singing. And sometimes we're busy playing games. I mean, it's just, it's neat.
Did you ever see, it was a play originally, then it was a movie called Same Time Next Year?
Yeah, somebody even brought that up.
Because that's an the interesting thing about it is this couple that accidentally got put together, and, mm-hmm. and then they end up meeting each other once a year.
The movie was Alan Alda and Glenn Close,
yes,
right?
Yeah. I saw it on Broadway with Betsy Palmer.
Oh, how about it?
Yeah. But the interesting thing is this shows the signs of the times.
Mm-hmm.
How they come in, how they're dressed, and what they're thinking,
yes.
and what's going on. And it's just their weekend that
yes.
they meet together,
mm-hmm.
and how close they get to each
yeah.
other and know a lot about each other's families and all that. And this is long before there would have been any emails or anything like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It's an interesting concept, and it sounds almost like what you guys are doing.
It's just too much fun. And it started out with a group of girls that I met at Parents Without Partners.
Okay.
Because we all went to a dance on Sunday night together and met fellas and watched each other get married and became friends because we just hung out together all the time. And I invited them up to see my new house. And those people are in all different directions now. We have one original chick. Well, two, actually, because Mary was there, too.
Mm.
But
One out of the group of
the Parents Without Partners, yeah. And she's still around. So since she's original, her chick name is Eden, because she's original.
Okay.
Yeah, she was there at the beginning.
Okay.
So she's Eden. And everybody else has been added in along the way. And they're just really cool girls. Really supportive of each other. And as you go through life, you have crap in your life. And it's so nice to know that you have a band of people that you can count on to come around you and say, I can be your venting pool. You know,
mm-hmm.
if you need to scream, scream at me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll help you get some perspective on life, and we'll go on from here. But I'm here for you. And along the way, we've all helped each other. And that has just knit us together even more. So we've seen each other through a lot of different relationships and a lot of children problems and financial highs and lows and all sorts of things. And it's just been really great to be there in the moment with each person as they're trying to make their life better.
Sounds like a movie.
It is.
Sounds like a movie idea.
Who should we get to play us?
That's a thinker one there.
I've always wanted to be played by Sandra Bullock. That's just my choice. I just like her.
I'm surprised you didn't say Ally McGraw.
Ally McGraw's too old now. No offense, Ally.
She is.
Now, when I was in high school, I looked like Ally McGraw in Love Story. And then when I permed my hair, the next time I saw her, she had permed hair. And we just kind of like mirrored each other for quite a few years. But yeah,
She used to hang out at a bar that I used to go to in New York City.
Really?
Yeah. I used to see her a lot.
You are a guy about town.
Not Goodfellas. I'm sorry. McFeely's.
Okay.
McFeely's was the name of the bar. The two McFeely brothers owned it. And they filmed The Pope of Greenwich Village there.
Okay.
But she used to, they had a huge, huge bar, 60-foot bar. And then in the back they had a dining room, and she would usually be in the dining room with the people.
Uh-huh.
And one night she got in a big fight with people and came screaming out and ran out the door.
Whoa.
But I was hardly ever in the dining room. I was usually at the bar having a soda, you know.
Wow. Yeah, having a soda.
Yeah.
Hey, I have an idea. Why don't we put out the phone number in case anybody wants to call
in? Why don't we do that? And then I got to...
Oh, is that
we'll keep talking
or what?
Keep talking while
I'm gonna
answer
keep
that.
I'm going to keep talking because I put the phone number out to some of the chicks to see if anybody wanted to call in. But there are some people out there that just have the phone number here memorized, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, you want to come
and
on
we're
the
just excited.
Hold on, I'm going to put you on
excited
hold
that
back.
We have somebody on
if
the line. That's pretty cool.
Call back.
That's nice. So we have somebody that wants to hang out with us?
We do.
This is good. Okay, who's hanging out with us?
Joanne.
Hey! Okay, so we have Chief Chick here. This is so good.
I'm sorry, I didn't have my headset on. Who is it?
It's Chief Chick.
It's Chief Chick.
Yeah.
Chief Chick, my name is Richard G. Where are you at?
Oh, I'm out in Washington Township.
Oh, okay.
Hey, and Joanne.
Hi, Mary.
Now, okay, I'd rather say Joanne. Joanne, yeah. What do you do for a living?
It's not that hard.
She has a lot of things she does.
I have a lot of things that I do, yes.
It's harder than you know.
Oh, you're one of those people.
Yes. I currently have a corporate job that I do system and network administration.
Okay.
But my business is rubbing elbows, and I massage horses and dogs.
Okay, we have somebody in the chamber that does that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We do.
She does a sports massage on animals and healing touch modalities. And this is the gal that I was telling you about that was retired from the Coast Guard.
Oh, really?
Yes.
And tell them what you did with your Coast Guard skills that is an enhancement to your rubbing elbows business.
Hence, Chief Chick. I was a chief in the Coast Guard.
Yeah.
I also make leashes and lead lines from marine-grade rope using splicing techniques. So, it actually, you're not using splicing it, and that maintains the integrity strength of the rope that you're working with.
It's really interesting because the leashes and lead lines that she does, the loop for the handle disappears into the lead. I don't know how she weaves it back together, but I can't find the distinguishing point to it. And that's her Coast Guard background that lets her make these leashes and lead lines with rope handles that are a piece of the lead.
Uh-huh.
And they're really quite extraordinary and very comfortable to hold if you're walking a dog. So she's really taken that to a whole new level.
And but I also can make lunges and training reins for horses.
Okay.
You know, like the Pirelli, Clinton Anderson, John Lyon style.
No, we don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, but anyway.
But it sounds good.
it sounds very important, but I don't know.
Yeah, people with horses know, and mine are actually nicer than what you could get commercially or like online. Mine are actually spliced, so they're done correctly.
There you go. It's that splicing that gets me every time.
Now, did you retire from the Coast Guard?
Yes, I am currently retired. As a reserve, you know, you're awaiting pay. So until I'm 60, I don't get a retirement check.
Oh, really?
Now, I did Joanne's retirement ceremony.
Yes.
She invited me to Sandy Hook, and I sat on the stage with all the uniforms. And during her retirement ceremony, I told her story about growing up in a house where she wanted to be a veterinarian, and they told her, girls can't be veterinarians. And so she decided to join the Coast Guard because her dad had a boat and she liked boating. And nobody evidently told her that you couldn't be in the Coast Guard.
Girls can't be Coast Guard.
And she broke a lot of ceilings in the Coast Guard as a female off of Sandy Hook. So she really is a leader, a pioneer in the Coast Guard.
Yeah, it's one of those, you know, the recruiting stories or the recruiter stories, and they tell you, oh, yeah, come on in, and you're led to believe that, we want you, and then the reality hits when you get there, and it hadn't gotten down to the people in the field yet.
They didn't have quarters for her.
Well, I'm sure.
They had no female quarters, so there was no place for her to physically be.
You have to stay overnight, but there's no place for us to put you.
So and then she worked her way up and was in command of a boat and all kinds of things. So she really made her way through that, and that reflected in corporate as well, because she worked her way up in corporate.
Sure.
And now when your phone system goes down, this is the chick that goes and fix it, fixes it so the phone system comes back up. Her office is a bunch of towers of electronics. She really knows her stuff.
So, and I'll be leaving that pretty soon, too, so that's a good thing. So
and then she'll be a free bird.
Yes, and then it all comes back to, now I'm not going to be a veterinarian, but I'll be working with animals and using everything that I've learned along the way. So it's been fun. I'm really looking forward to it. You know, right now I have a nice clientele. And as I get closer, you know, this will be what I do full time. And I'm looking forward to growing more.
That sounds terrific to me.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a lot of interesting gals in this gaggle. You know, it's just a...
It's too bad you didn't bring them all in today.
I didn't even stop to think about bringing them all in. I thought it was pretty good that I brought Mary.
Yeah, the problem is that Mary can't get a word in edgewise.
Okay. Well, that is a challenge.
Well, I can let Mary talk.
No. You called in, so you can have the floor. I told Ruth Ann, I said, oh, you're going to be there? Okay, so I don't have to say anything. And that's what got me here. Otherwise, I'd be traveling south now.
Good, though. But Mary provides a good service for family members that need help.
Yep. We were talking about that earlier.
Yep.
Off the air.
Very, very, very important.
Thank you.
Yeah, Mary works in hospice, for those of you who are wondering what Mary does.
We were talking about hospice and talking about how... I've done a lot of shows about hospice, and I said this off the air. I don't think I said it on the air. It just amazes me, people that work in hospice, because I would just not want to do it because I would get too involved with the people and hate to see them pass away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's truly a gift that you could stay, I don't even want to say detached, but that you can... The bottom line is it's so helpful to the people that are in the situation.
The thing that's ironic about it is we grew up in a funeral home, and Mary wanted nothing to do with being in a funeral home. And she ends up in hospice.
So I'm not in a funeral home.
I know. Yeah. Well, I grew up in a funeral home, and I vowed I'd never marry a funeral director, and I didn't. I became one.
You became one.
Right. So, you know, we try to stay true to our vow.
Right.
There you go.
Yeah. So it's cool.
So you were at the big affair this weekend, correct?
Yes.
And have you been at all of them?
No.
No, but you've been to a lot of them.
A lot of them. I don't know, 5-6 years ago I started?
Yeah.
Five.
Somewhere around that.
Yeah.
You've been to at least half of them.
Yeah.
And we wove you in, and it took.
Yeah.
So
do you look forward to this every year?
Oh, yeah. It's so much fun. It's just so different, you know, and some of us, you know, that's the only time we really see each other in person. Others, what's really been nice is that, you know, friendships that were made that wouldn't have if it hadn't been for this. So that's nice.
Sure. I agree.
It's a whole different group of people. That have such a broad spectrum of likes, dislikes. It's a good way. It's a good way to run things off people and get some balance.
You know, I've been doing radio shows all afternoon today. I had a guest at noon, and him and I were talking about being in the military. And I said, and this man that was in at noon was black. And I said, you know, I grew up in Ohio, never saw black people.
Okay.
Went to high school with all white people. Suddenly I'm in the military and I'm there with blacks, Asians, you know, Puerto Ricans, you name it. And I said, I suddenly realized that everybody's the same.
Yes, yes. And you know, that's something that I've seen over and over again, and so many people want to express, you know, like their differences, And I mean in a good way, and that's okay. But at the end of the day, no matter what culture, there's so many similarities. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, they're people. They're the same. At the end of the day, everybody wants health, safety, their kids to grow up.
That's right.
Everybody's the same.
Well, what I said was that, not that I think anybody should be in the military unless they really want to. Mm-hmm. And I can't say that the 2 years I spent were the greatest, but it did teach me to respect other people.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
You know, it people that my parents would have said, oh, you don't want to talk with those people.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly I became friends with.
Right, right.
And that color barrier didn't exist. It did not exist anymore. That color barrier or the person's a little different. No, we were all just guys.
Well, it couldn't exist because you had to have each other's back.
Sure.
Yeah.
But we were all just guys.
I never really thought about this before, but look at the difference in our the way that we are with each other. And since the draft was abolished and not everybody went.
Well, see, I'm so old. I got caught in the draft.
Okay. Well,
in 1966.
Okay.
There you go.
Well, the draft just ended with my brother just before me. So I'm one of six.
Right, and I was after draft.
Yeah.
Yeah, they used to do the lottery system.
Right. Right.
That came in right before I was getting ready to get out.
I think that in the last lottery, our brother Dave was number two.
Ooh.
And they dropped it, and he didn't have to respond to being number two. So that was like, how interesting timing wise.
Yes. Yeah.
My husband was in the Marines, so he was, I believe, 1972, which he was definitely a lottery candidate. And he wound up joining the Marines and wanted to go to Vietnam and wound up in Hawaii. See when you tell them what you want to do, they do their damnedest to make sure that you don't get.
Oh, that's for sure. That's for sure. That's for sure.
So there he goes.
So you should say you want to be on the front line.
Well, I'm sorry.
No,
you're going
to be on the front line.
You're going to park cars in Anaheim.
Thank you.
No, how silly they are. When I was in high school, I worked in a grocery store, so they said, "Well, you'd be a good cook. You handled canned food."
Oh, no.
Oh, wow.
So I went to cook school, but I'm an artist, and I kept a notebook, and I drew pictures. The lieutenant that ran it said, "Can I keep this to show other people?"
Oh, wow.
And I hung watercolors up in the barracks, and the captain came in one day and said, "Whose are these?" And I thought, "Oh, I'm in trouble now." I said, "They're mine." He said, "Come to my office." We went down, and he said, "Why are you a cook?" Don't you want to do something else? And I became a map maker.
There you go.
Wow.
So it all worked out well, but I would much rather have not gone for 2 years, to tell you the truth.
Mm-hmm.
But I did learn a lot. I learned a lot about people.
I was a reserve, so I did the first 6 months active duty, and then the rest of my time was one weekend a month and two weekends a year until 9/11.
Yeah, and then you got pulled in?
Yeah, then I got pulled in. So I actually became a veteran during that time. And the way I look at it, you know, whether you go reserve or whether you go full-time, for so many kids, they don't know really what they want to do. So for nothing else, very good way to find out what you don't want to do.
That's true. Well,
that's a nice way of putting it.
And, you know, you do your commitment, but, it may help sort things out while the synapses fill in the brain. So it's not a bad thing. For people, like you said, for people that want to do it, it's excellent.
Sure.
For people that kind of don't know, it's not a bad thing either.
Well, I'll tell you, I had a guy who was from Watts out in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "Well, I'm gonna re-up." And I said, "Why?" He said, "This is the first time in my life I got three meals a day and I had a place to sleep."
Wow.
And I thought, whoa,
there's a different perspective.
Yeah, they've been good to me. I can eat all the time. I'm you know.
And you're getting some money in your pocket.
Yeah, he said this is the first time, and I imagine he was very good at what he did. I imagine he stayed in and did his 20 years or 30 years and got out.
How about that?
It's really not a bad deal. You know, so many people make a big deal about the pay, and it's not a bad deal. And pretty much you have control over it. You put into it, or you get out what you put into it.
Well, that's like anything else. Yep. Sure, exactly. Exactly.
You could be very, very, very comfortable, easily comfortable.
I enjoyed what I did, but I knew they would not let me wear blue jeans and grow my hair long.
And he's sitting here with blue jeans and long hair right now.
And I knew that they would not let me do that, so I would not re-up. But I enjoyed what I did.
Now tell me, you made some very good friends while you were there, because everybody was watching each other's back and all that jazz. And did you hold on to any of those friendships?
You know, it was long before, I think today, with email and things like that, maybe I would have, but no.
Okay.
The one really good friend I had was a sergeant major, who I think took a look at me and said, this kid's going to get killed unless I take care of him.
Well, it's not nice that he had that revelation.
And I ended up with him even after we left Southeast Asia. I went to Colorado with him because he said, look, we can go wherever we want. You want to go to Colorado Springs? I live there, and we'll be at Fort Carson. And he became almost like my father in a way.
Wow.
And I really loved the guy. The guy was, you didn't want to get on the wrong side of him. But he was an interesting character. I imagine he's probably passed by now because he was a lot older than I am, and I'm already old. So,
yeah, but wouldn't that be interesting to find out that for real?
Sergeant Major Harold Caldwell.
Anybody know somebody named that? That'd be really cool.
He lived in Colorado Springs, Colorado.
One of the interesting things, because we were reserves, we drilled pretty much in the same place with the same people for, until 9/11 when I got pulled out of there, so say 26 years. Yeah, I still have a lot of friends, and we still talk to each other.
I'm sure.
It's a different thing. I mean, we're local, but there are some people that I knew, that you get close with from the active duty side, and I still stay in touch with them. So they're almost family.
Yeah. Well, you kind of, at one point, you become a family.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's the only way you're going to survive that.
Yeah.
You become a family. And then, like I said, when I got out in 68, there was no email. There was no. I had one lieutenant that was a good friend, and his wife wrote me a letter and said that he'd been killed in Vietnam, and he never got to see his daughter. And I stayed in touch. I wrote a couple of letters. She was from Chicago. I was in Dayton, Ohio. And we wrote a couple of letters back and forth. And then that kind of, you know how that letter writing thing goes?
Mm-hmm.
It finally died.
Mm-hmm.
Now, today, if that would have been email, maybe we'd still be talking to each other.
Yeah.
You know.
Right.
Isn't it interesting? I had a funeral a couple of weeks ago. And the earmark of this guy was that he wrote letters.
Well.
And it was, and the people that I interviewed for the service were telling me how he wrote every 3 or 4 weeks a handwritten letter, and it wasn't a short note. It was 3 or 4 pages long.
Mm-hmm.
And it was stunning to think in this day and age that somebody was taking pen to paper and writing down something tactile that somebody could hold on to.
Yeah.
And read and reread and enjoy that person's fingerprints, so to speak.
My friend Jack McDade, who was Dick Clark's first guest on the first American Bandstand, remained friends with Dick Clark throughout his life, and he has a stack of letters because Dick Clark always wrote letters.
Isn't that neat?
Oh, wow.
And, in fact, when Dick Clark died, Jack went in and talked with Matt Lauer on the Today Show about Dick Clark.
Right.
But Jack lives right here in Flemington.
Yes. I've met him.
Yeah, I thought you had.
Yeah.
But he has a whole stack of Dick Clark letters that have been written from him from the early 50s when he was on the show as Dick Clark's first guest.
Isn't that something?
And that's what Dick Clark did. He wrote letters.
And that's precious stuff.
That's stuff you're not going to find today.
No.
I love it, but it's not something that I keep up with, sad to say.
It was always tough to keep up with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's one of those things I'm going to.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're always going to.
I even like picking the paper because everything has, there's meaning to it all.
Mm-hmm.
It's just.
Even the simple card.
Yes.
That yep. Aunt B always yep. kept up with.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I meant to send you a birthday card.
Just goes by the wayside.
I'm sorry, Mary.
You can send me one.
I'll When's your birthday?
You? April 14th.
Okay.
Oh.
So we're coming up on that.
Okay. Yeah. While we're at it. Okay, Bonnie, I forgot to send your card again this year. I'm sorry. Your birthday was yesterday. Happy birthday, baby. Oh, yeah. I'm not a good correspondent. I get it from my mother, I think.
I'm good with the emails. It works really well.
I'm okay with email, too.
In 1994, I brought a little 20 or 18-month-old girl from Vietnam to parents here in Hershey. And maybe 4 or 5 years ago on Facebook, I got a thing, would you be my friend? And I saw it was this Asian named Cheyenne, and I thought, I think that's what they're going to name that kid. And I've been in touch with her. We talk maybe once a month. She says she's a...
How much fun is that?
She's a nursing student right now. And, you know, we talk. So it's been interesting. Back in September, on September the 5th, she sent me a thing and said, Happy Plane Day. That was the day that we were on the plane and came home.
Wow. I love that.
So that's the great thing about the internet.
Yeah.
You know, I found out how her life went. I went down and had dinner with her and her parents, and we talked about what her life had been and all that. And I explained to her what her life was like in the orphanage in just outside of Hanoi, where we picked her up.
Yeah.
And it was fun.
Nice.
So we're still friends. Cheyenne and I are still friends. She may email me once a month and go, Richard, how are you doing? What's up? You know, and I'll answer back with stuff. And
isn't it great to have those kind of connections just
it is.
Bubble up? And
well, it's something in the past that I would have often wonder whatever happened to that little girl.
Yes.
You know, now I know.
That is too much fun.
And she's adorable. She's terrific. And in fact, when I went down to have dinner with her and her parents, I said to her, you know, I was hoping your parents wouldn't be at the airport because you were going to come home and live with me.
Aww.
And I said, you'd have been my daughter.
How nice to have connections like that just be regenerated.
Yes.
You know, how many years was it since you've seen her?
Probably 10, 12.
Yeah. That's a gift.
And I wondered, every now and then, I wonder how that little girl's doing. We brought 6 kids back. And I wonder how some of those, she's the only one that I've, but she sat on my lap for 22 hours on the plane.
How old? When
14 months old.
Okay.
And she sat on my lap, and I said to her, do you like green beans? She said, yeah, I love them. I said, yeah, every time they brought food, your hands would be in the green beans.
Oh, that's funny.
Eating my green beans. But it was just nice to make that connection again.
Of course. Oh, that is precious. I love that.
And to know that she's fine.
Yeah.
And also, the other thing is she's going to be a very good, productive citizen of this country. She's studying to be a pediatric nurse.
Mm-hmm.
She's now working at Hershey Medical Center as a nurse.
Nice.
Emptying bedpans, because I said, that's what you're doing. And she said, yeah, that's what all of new nurses do. Mm-hmm. But, you know, she's working and enjoying it.
Yeah.
So.
That is so nice.
And it's just nice to know.
It's really nice to watch you glow while you tell that story.
I love that little girl.
I know you do. I can tell.
I love that little girl. I would have taken her in an instant. She would have been home with me, and she'd be living with us, and she'd have I have a Korean son. She'd have a Korean brother and a Caucasian sister.
League of Nations.
Yes.
Here we go.
Yeah. But I love that little girl, and I love talking to her. Whenever she emails me, I always get a smile.
Oh, that is nice.
Every now and again, you get a peek or a little hint, an open window to appreciation of the things that you've done. And sometimes it's from the most odd places, and that, you know, I guess that's the really interesting thing is sometimes it's like, well, you didn't think you did anything.
True.
And
it somebody, seems like it's coming out of left field. Yeah.
Yeah, and somebody thought the most of it, and you're like, no, I just treated you like a person, or I just, you know,
yeah,
just did what had to be done at the moment, or you know, whatever. And they saw it completely differently.
You know, we're down to a minute.
Okay.
Any last thoughts?
Everybody tune in at 5 o'clock.
And Mary, don't talk too much.
I was going to say this is an easy hour. Yay. Thanks, Joanne, for calling in.
I want to thank you for calling in.
Well, thank you. I was glad to be able to get in.
And I wish you all the best.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Hey, horse and dog people, rubbing elbows.
There you go. RubbingElbowsLLC.com.
Okay.
Yeah.
And hopefully have a summer chick fest.
Yeah, that would be cool.
There you
yeah.
go.
All right.
We just need more times to see each other. We do it, you know? Yeah. Talk to you later, hon.
Okay, that's it. My time's up.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Ruthann, thanks for coming in.
Oh, it was great fun. Just always good to hang out with you.
Well, I feel the same. And I want to thank you for suggesting that you would come for this hour.
Oh, well, it's all good. Now Mary and I are going to go grab a bite to eat, and I'll be back at 5 o'clock for
good for you
celebration
because
hour.
I'm going to tell you something. I'm hungry.
Are you?
Yeah.
I have a food bar if you want it.
No, that's okay. I've got one more show to do, everybody. I'll be right back after the news and these messages.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News. I'm Kelly Sloan. There are only hours left for the U.S. and the permanent members of the U.N. Security Council to come up with a framework with Iran for a nuclear deal. The agreement would remove economic sanctions on Iran if they agree to limit their nuclear development. But Senator Richard Burr told CBS's Face the Nation that he doesn't trust Iran.
We see Iran playing in about 9 countries financially or physically. I think now's the time to push back from the table.
Meanwhile, Iranian-backed Houthi rebels are trying to take control of more of Yemen as the Saudi-led coalition continues airstrikes against them. The German Wings co-pilot who crashed the plane into the Alps may have tried to kill himself before. Prosecutors say he had received treatment for suicidal tendencies before becoming a pilot.
He had, at that time, been in treatment of a psychotherapist.
That was Prosecutor Christoph Kumpa. This is USA Radio News.
GEICO presents Fan Mail to a Pig.
Dear Maxwell, I just want to say thank you for making my GEICO insurance ID card digital. It's easy to find on the app. It doesn't give me paper cuts, and I always have it on hand because it's on my phone. Because of this, I finally cleaned out my glove box, which was filled with years of paper ID cards. Any thought on what I should put in my glove box now? Sincerely, Trent Patterson. Trent. What can you put in the glove box? Here's a crazy thought. How about gloves?
Digital insurance ID cards, just a tap away on the GEICO app.
With a Sam's Club membership, you get incredible savings every time you shop. Don't miss out on big savings for a memorable Easter feast. Pick up a flavorful boneless carving ham for just $3.28 per pound or less. Plus, add a side of delicious green beans with oranges and herb butter for just $3.98 per pound. Top off with 35-count cluster-baked dinner rolls for just $4.98. Join and save. Sam's Club. Life is better in the club. See club for details.
There has been a shooting at a military base not far from the nation's capital. AP correspondent Jerry Bodlander reports.
The FBI says the shooting at the gate of Fort Meade, home to the National Security Agency, is not believed to be terrorism-related. Officials say it occurred when two men who were dressed as women tried to ram their way through the gate